As we continue in worship, let us pray together as we turn towards reading the scripture and hearing a word from Christ this day. Gracious God, we love you and we thank you for this time together, for an opportunity to together in this space and together online, and that you might speak to us, encourage us, that we are yours. God, we thank you for the scriptures that have been given to us this day. I ask that you speak through me and in spite of me, through the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would open our ears and our eyes and our hearts this day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So our scripture for this morning comes from 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, verses 11 through 17. It says, "But as for you, man of God, shun all this. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you are called and for which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the presence of God who gives life to all things and of Christ Jesus who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, I charge you to keep the commandment without spot or blame until the manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about at this right time, he who is blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. It is he alone who has immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be the honor and eternal dominion. Amen." "As for those who in the present age are rich, command them not to be haughty or to set their hopes on uncertainty of riches, but rather on God who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of life that is really life." This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. So for the next couple weeks, we're going to be looking at our favorite topic, stewardship, a little bit as we kind of prepare ourselves for entering into the new year. We're already like 2 months prior, right, to 2022. Can you believe it? This year is flown by, I tell you. And so we're going to be talking about stewardship towards the end of this month. You'll be invited to prayerfully consider what you might be able to how you might be able to respond to God and support Northwest Hills as we head into the next year, so that we might be a good steward and faithful to all that God has called us and is calling us to do for his kingdom. So I ask you a question: do you admire the one who lives extravagantly or the one who gives extravagantly? The one who lives extravagantly or the one who gives extravagantly? As I do premarital counseling sessions and we go through finances, there's a part of the lesson that talks about how we view money. And one of them is like money as control, or money as enjoyment, and money as security. And so you look at money in different ways and see how money influences the way you view people and your view of money. You know, I think the answer to this particular question will influence and dictate how we define ourselves as Christians versus consumers. We're constantly being evaluated and defined. We're defined by our jobs, and we're defined by organizations we belong to and our family relationships and our friends and our acquaintances. You know, when we read about obituaries in the newspaper or online, they're filled with this type of information, like, you know, Johnny worked at this for many years, and he was part of this organization, and this was his parents, and this is where he grew up, and this is his siblings, and all of those things. They're information that define our life as we live day by day. They're details. But are they ultimately what defines us? You know, we're created to desire and glorify God. We're created to find security in God and the one who created us. We're created to love people and to care for those in need. We're meant to enjoy the simple pleasures in life and find wholeness within ourselves and our relationships. We're meant to be generous to those in need. We're created for community and care. To be generous with our time and our talents and our to serve God. And we're called to live this way in the midst of a world that constantly pushes us and tries to tempt us into living differently and to hoard things and to buy things we don't need and to keep things for ourselves and to fill our houses with so many things that we can't even find things and we're trying to find things for it. And if we don't have room for it, then we'll go get a storage shed or a storage unit and put things in there for a while. You know, there's two voices that keep us from taking steps towards generosity. The first voice is that of fear, which often creates this question within us, this what if question. Fear can hinder us from experiencing joy of generosity, the joy of life. What if I need this thing that's been in my attic for 10 years, and what if I just need it one day and I don't have it? What if the electric bill triples in 1 month and I don't have, you know, it hasn't done it in 5 years, but what if it does? I better make sure I've not given, been too generous. What if I get sick or I don't have enough to eat? What if? We fill ourselves with these fearful what if questions that really hinder generosity and joy. Closes us off to seeing the God of today, the God of now. Living in constant fear offers no real security in the world. The second voice that kind of fills us up is that voice of self-gratification. This voice that says, if I give, then will there be enough for me? If I give, will I have enough money to get everything I want? The things that I think will make me happy. What if I want to buy that new fancy car or expensive gadget or a new pair of shoes to fill my closet that's already full? You see, there becomes a point in our life where an increasing amount of stuff produces a diminishing return of happiness and satisfaction. Throughout the life of Christ, we see and we witness him serving people constantly. We never see Christ working for his own personal pleasure or good fortune, but he was about pleasing God by giving himself for the care of others. And the more we grow in Christ and follow Christ, well, we grow in faith as well towards Jesus. We come to know that everything we have is a gift from Christ. It's a gift and it belongs to the Lord. And our fears somehow lessen, and our aim in life shifts, and we find out that seeking personal pleasure is about pleasing God and others. You see, we are just stewards of the blessings of God, and our goal is to determine how God wants us to use our resources that we have at our disposal. Obviously, the majority go to meeting and caring for our needs. However, God expects us to do more than focus on ourselves. In the Old Testament, God's people observed this practice of giving a portion of the best of what they had, the first fruits of God, in a way of saying, God, I give this to you, it's all yours. In multiple scriptures, in Genesis and in Leviticus and Malachi, we see whether it was crops or flocks or any other kind of income, the gift was offered to God, and it was normally known as a tithe or a tenth. It's a good measure of giving. As Christians, we also have a new covenant of Jesus, and we're not bound by the law of Moses. A tithe is still a good guideline for our lives, one that's pleasing to God. But Jesus also talks more about generosity. We see this in the story of sheep and goats, helping the least of these, praying that there will one day be no goats and only sheep as we care for one another. Then there's a story about widows, about giving her 2 coins, all that she had out of love. There's multiple stories in other scriptures about not letting money become the master or influencer of our lives, but trusting in him as the one who provides us with it all. In 1 Timothy that I read this morning, it says that we are not to be haughty or proud or set our hopes on our money, but rather on God who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. We are to do good, to be good in good works, be rich in good works, be generous and ready to share, so that we might experience life that is truly life, not found in the possessions that we accumulate, but through our relationship with God and the lives that we impact. As you leave today, we got a new sign out there, and that sign lists about 15 things that this church participates in and partners with throughout the year that we might make an impact within our community and within our world. I think if you look at that list, it would be impossible for any one of us to singularly do all of those things and participate in that way, but together and collectively, we are able to do more and to dream of more than we could ever dream or imagine by ourselves. Our generosity is not about some financial transaction or business deal, but saying, God, I'm returning to you a portion of what I have and what I've earned and what you have blessed me with to say thank you, I love you, and I hope that it makes a difference in the kingdom of God. An expression of praise and obedience, faithfulness, worship, and devotion. You know, tithing and generosity can be a struggle. It's possible at virtually every level for it to be a struggle. I would never ask anyone or to think of generosity and tithing and giving in something that I wasn't willing to do myself. Amy and I are in our 9th year of marriage, and through those 9 years, you know, we've moved from Falfurrias and Elgin and Weslaco and Harlingen and back up to Austin. Our family size was just Amy and I, and then it was, you know, 5 kids, it was a dog first, and then 5 kids, and then it was 1 kid, and then it was 2 kids, and that's kind of where we are now. And it was, you know, finding childcare and paying for childcare and school. It's all fluctuated. However, through it all, we committed to tithing and to saving before anything else. We committed to not having debt before anything else. And then we make adjustments where we can spend. Was it always like this for me? I think Amy grew up more like that, but for me, no. Fear and self-gratification all throughout high school and college. Buying things, impulse buys, and getting things to look cool. But I have to tell you, there's something freeing and energizing about knowing that I'm making a difference in the great and mighty work of Christ above all else and beginning of anything else. We've tried to give generously. We've become more generous over time. We want to help as much as possible with tithing being the floor, not the ceiling of our giving. You know, contentment and generosity are less about money and more about the state of our hearts and our relationship with God and each other. At the end of the day, generosity does need to involve the choices we make with our money God provides, regardless of how much money that is, no matter how much our income level is. we decide how much is enough. As we close, you know, we don't give to God so that we can get something in return. But we give to God and to others so that we might see the impact that we make and that we feel generosity in our hearts, making a difference in the kingdom of God through simplicity and generosity. God wants us to be a people who look to Him as our source, giving thanks to all that we have, living simpler lives, wasting less, so that we might be defined by generosity. He wants us to be difference makers. And it's hard to be difference makers if we're only looking at ourselves. He wants us to be difference makers who make an impact with our lives for years and years to come. He wants us to know that He loves us and that there's always enough. And so over the next couple weeks and this month, as you pray about how you might be that part of what we're trying to do, because every piece, every part is so important, that we might continue to be not only care for our facility, which continually needs repairs and upkeep and is expensive, but also that we might be as generous as we can to the community and the world around us. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, we love You and we thank You for this opportunity to gather together. We thank You for, God, as we look at the sign out there, so many things that we may not have even known that this body of Christ, this family of Christ was participating in. But Lord, we know that as we give, we are a piece of that. We are a piece of the difference that we're able to make in the world through Your love and through Your grace. And so, God, we give You thanks for every blessing that You have poured upon us. Most importantly, for forgiveness and love and peace and for our salvation. Guide us and direct us that we might help others to know of that, of those gifts, of Your love, and of the opportunity that You have for each one of us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.